Ephesians chapter 4 again in your Bibles, and we will begin reading in verse 1, read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we will, I'll preach to you out of the passage in here I want to focus on. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. As ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now again, Father, we do thank you for the word of God that we've read here, and I just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. And Lord, you know the need. You know what we preached on and what we learned in the Sunday school hour, and I just pray you'd add to that. Help us to add what we need to add. You know every heart. You know every need. You know everything about us, Father. And so help us to just agree with you with what we need and believe your word and believe that that which you have promised you will do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'd like to call your attention to verse 7. And he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now I believe he's quoting of Psalms there. I'd have to go back and look at the actual psalm that was quoted. I didn't do that before this message. But I just wanted to give you that for something to think about. But he said, now that he ascended, what is it but they also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, we know full well that Jesus said that there would be no sign given unto this generation but the sign of Jonas and the prophet. For as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so also shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And so Jesus Christ died, and he went into the heart of the earth. He went into paradise, and he preached the gospel there, those that were waiting for his death, his burial, his resurrection, and they were led captive. They were taken up, and all that remains there now is those that were in torment, those that were in hell, where the rich man was in Luke chapter, I believe it was Luke chapter 18, the rich man and Lazarus. And you see that picture there. And he said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's talking about his resurrection. That's talking about how the fact that Jesus conquered sin and death, and he rose from the dead incorruptible, and he ascended up to heaven, and we look for his return. We look for his bodily visible return one day. And we look for him to come back, because he promised to come back. And he promised to rise from the grave, and he did that, didn't he? And so you ought to believe him when he says he's coming back. And I would just simply say on this, we understand this. This is talking about what's necessary. He descended first in the lower parts of the earth, and he ascended up above all heavens, and that he might fill all things. And I'm sure there's probably something else could be there, but it's talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, how he came from heaven, he was born of a virgin, he lived a perfect sinless life, he died on Calvary's cross and bore our sins in his own body on the tree and shed his precious blood as payment for those sins, right? And gave his very life's blood and gave it, and then he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and his soul, his body was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and his soul and spirit were there in the lower parts of the earth, and then he rose from the dead, incorruptible, proving that he paid the penalty for sin once for all. And that's why eternal life is a gift. And before you could even possibly even accomplish what we're going to talk about today, before you could even be eligible for what we're talking about today, you have to be saved. You must be born again. You have to put your faith in the blood that Christ shed on Calvary as payment for your sins. There is no hope any other way. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's the reality. That's the truth. He's the only way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And that's exclusive. There is no other way. You can't work your way to heaven. No church can get you to heaven. Nobody can pronounce you, absolve you from your sins. There's only one that can truly forgive sins. I can tell you that your sins are forgiven if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. But no man on earth can absolve you of your sins. There's only one that can do that. That's Jesus. And if you don't trust him, you will die and go to hell. And I don't care how many times you've been to church or what all you think you are about yourself. But if you're looking at yourself and you're talking about going to heaven and you're talking about that on basis of your own works and you think you're a good enough person to get to heaven, I tell you now truly that you will die and you will go to hell and you will be tormented for all eternity. There is no way out of it. The only way out is through Jesus Christ, and he is the only Savior. And not only will you be tormented through all eternity, you will deserve to be tormented through all eternity, because you deserve that now. And the reality and the truth is that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to save you from that, to save you from your sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so I want you to think about that today as we talk about that. I don't know who might hear this message, but You cannot, this will not apply at all if you're not saved. And you must be born again. So I just want to make sure I tell you that before I get on to this. But in verse 7 he says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, there is a word that is mentioned at least three times. And that word is measure. Let's take a look at the places where it used that word measure. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Right? And then we go through there, and verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Right? And then it says in verse 16, it says, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now the message I have for you today is actually very, very simple. It is very, very simple. You know, there are a lot of different things that we talked about. We talked this morning about what our vocation is. Right? We talked about our vocation is to be a Christian, is to live as a child of God, to live as a citizen of heaven, to live as ambassadors for Christ, whatever we want to call that. But to live as a Christian, that is our vocation. It encompasses everything. And the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that we just read, after it talks about how Jesus, verse 8, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. But before that, he descended in the lower parts of the earth, and then he that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fill all things, right? And then he says, and he gave some apostles, and we know who the apostles are, right? And he gave some what? Prophets, we know what the prophets are, and some evangelists, right? We know what the New Testament, the Old Testament prophets are. We know what an evangelist is. We can find that defined in the Scripture, and some pastors and teachers. And we know what a pastor is. We can define that by Scriptures, and we can define a Bible teacher, a godly teacher. Most people read pastors and teachers as a single gift rather than that. I don't necessarily know that I agree with that 100%, but it may be, maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. I'd have to study it out. But the bottom line is, the reality is, he talks about he gives these gifts to men. But let's think about that for just a minute. Is everybody an apostle? What does it say in the book of 1 Corinthians? Are all apostles or are all prophets, right? What's the answer to that? No. All right. So he gave gifts unto men. He said apostles, prophets, and he makes it clear, some apostles, some. So when he talks about the gifts, you can't read verse 11 and say that is the sum of verse 7, because verse 7 says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Those apostles, those prophets, those evangelists, those pastors and teachers, they have a very specific purpose. And it tells us that in verse 12, and I know I've preached this to you before, their purpose is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, these people, these particular gifts are there for the perfecting of the saints, to help the saints reach perfection, to reach completion, to reach maturity, so that the work of the ministry can be accomplished, and that the body of Christ can be built up and edified. And we talk about the work of the ministry. We talked this morning in the Sunday school, we talked about, you know, how we focus on salvation, but then we leave discipleship up to the devil. And the work of the ministry is not just about getting people saved, it's about getting people discipled too. About people growing up in the Lord. And so my job is to help you and to get to be there to try to help be a vessel that can help you reach perfection, so that we can together do the work of the ministry and the body of Christ, the church, whether local or we talk about the future church, that is where all believers are joined together, that it's edified, that it's built up in number, built up in holiness, built up in righteousness and godliness in the practical sense. It accomplishes the will of God in redemption. We play our part in that redemption story about preaching the gospel to every creature and teaching them to observe whatsoever things he's commanded us. Right? And so we're supposed to do that. And then he says, till we all of us, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a measuring stick, if you will. There is a measuring stick by which we would say that we have reached what God wants us to be. Now, we give you an idea that the ultimate measuring stick is what? To be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. To be like Jesus. That's our measuring stick by which we measure ourselves. And we are supposed to measure ourselves therein daily. We are supposed to measure ourselves as God makes us realize where we're at. We're supposed to be taking steps forward and trying to measure up. We're supposed to grow. And the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, there's the measuring stick that we have, right? And you know, just like we did with our kids and people do all the time, you sit there and you take a tape measure or a mark, and you put a mark on the wall with your children, and then you measure at different ages. And a lot of people have their stuff on the wall. At 3 years old, they were this tall. At 4, they were this tall. At 5, they were this tall. At 6, at 7, at 8, at 9, at 10, all the way up till they reach 18, and then they run off on their own and they don't want to get measured anymore. And I think that's the way we are a lot of times. We get a little Bible knowledge and we don't want to be measured anymore. We don't grow up. Being 18 might make you a legal adult, but it doesn't necessarily make you grown up. Matter of fact, you'd be 30 and not be grown up. I know some folks that got probably near 70 and never grew up. Because they didn't become what they were supposed to be. They didn't become what they could be. They're still rebels against the will of God and against society. And you got Christians that are rebels against the will of God. They don't want to be measured anymore. They don't want to have a measuring stick. But Christ is the measuring stick. And He says that the goal is that we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And you know, you have a large number of people that they're just waiting on the next book to come out so they can learn something new. And they've got all the wisdom of the ages in front of them in the Bible, but they don't read the Bible. They want to read somebody else's book. They want somebody else to spoon feed them. They don't want to ever learn to actually comprehend the Word of God for themselves. And they don't want to do what's necessary. Like a lot of people, when we talk about Bible versions, you know what they always say about Bible versions? Oh, that's old-fashioned language, archaic language and everything. We need it modern and updated. Why do you need it modern and updated? Why can't you learn something that other people did? Why can't you learn a new meaning? Isn't it funny how in this world we make up new meanings for words all the time? But we cannot be bothered to find out what the original meaning of a word was. Can we? We're supposed to learn every new thing that comes along, right? You know, if you read the Bible, He talks about having respect unto somebody when they come into the church. You know, they're well arrayed and everything, and giving them preference. And He said, if you have respect unto him that weareth the gay clothing. Well, in our culture today, if you were to say gay clothing, what would you say? Sodomite clothing? Homosexual clothing? Right? And if you use gay in its proper historical context of what it means, which means happy or bright, right? If you use it in its proper terminology, if you use it that way, everybody looks at you and they, if you were to say, I'm really gay today, they would say, what? If I went out there and I said that, it'd be reported on the news that the preacher of Grace and Truth Baptist Church turned to homosexual. They finally arrived. They finally got up to speed with the culture. No, it just means that I'm feeling happy, feeling bright. That's the world. But you know, you get a King James Bible in front of somebody. Oh, I can't learn what that word means. I can't learn what truly means. I can't learn that. Too hard. That's because you don't want to grow. And they're basically that. Well, and like I saw this one guy. He was talking on a TV show. It was actually a hunting show that I was watching. And he came in there at the end. And he was talking about, oh, I like to read this verse and a bunch of different things. And it's like, they don't all say the same thing, but they all mean the same thing. Huh? I'm glad he's talking about the Bible, but that's just a crazy statement. If they don't say the same thing, then they can't mean the same thing. You can say the same thing in more than one way. You can convey the same meaning in more than one way. But if they don't say the same thing, then they can't mean the same thing. Things that are different are not the same, right? So the whole point being is when you look at that, but he made a statement, but that's the way people did it. It doesn't matter. You can just pick and choose what Bible version suits you the best today, and you'll never grow up in the Lord. And if you say, how can you say that, Pastor? I can say that because that thought has brought us to where people are ordaining sodomites and marrying sodomites and all this stuff that's going on today. And I could go on and on and on and on and on about what it's doing. And they don't want to be measured anymore. And so the question I would say to you is, do you want to be measured? There's the measuring stick right there. But then he goes on and he says in verse 16, he said, verse 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, all right, talking about the church or the believers, if you will, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That word compacted there doesn't mean just made tight and compressed. It means to be brought together, to be sound, to be whole, to be structurally sound. Right? That's what it means. It's because by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Alright, so when we have a church, the idea of being a church or what we're supposed to be, whether you're talking the local church or whether you're talking all believers for all time, however you want to talk about that, but we focus specifically primarily on the local church, because if you don't focus on the local church, you're never going to get to doing anything good for the so-called universal church that people like to talk about all the time. The body of Christ, we're all the body of Christ. You know, it doesn't matter what denomination or whatever you are. I don't care what denomination you are. You're not the body of Christ. You're not part of the body of Christ unless you are born again, period. Unless you're saved, so the bottom line is, and then we grow up, and we're supposed to want to grow up, because when you build a building, when you build something, you have to have a specification, don't you? You have to have a specification. You can't take one thing, one piece over here, and the specification, it says that it's supposed to be 15 inches long or 15 centimeters or 15 millimeters, whatever the specification says. If it says 15 millimeters, you can't have one that's 20 millimeters and one that's 2 millimeters and one that's 5 millimeters and one that's 7 millimeters, right? There's a measure for every part. There is a place where you belong, where you fit. There is a place that you're supposed to be. That God, we talk about it being God's will, but that is what your purpose is in the body of Christ, locally and universally, however you want to call that. But there is somebody that you're supposed to be. And you're supposed to grow up to. You're supposed to grow up to a certain part. And the measure of that part makes a difference to accomplishing the will of God and being the witness that this church needs to be. So we have our measuring stick for growth, for maturity, right? And that's the Lord Jesus Himself, right? He's our measuring stick. And we also have a requirement, a specification put upon us each individually as to what God wants us to be, because we have different gifts, right? We're different people. We all have the same grow as far as maturity goes, But we have to learn where we fit. And the measure. And we have two problems, really. Problem one is people don't want to or don't believe that they can or should continue to grow the way they're supposed to. And two, people don't believe or believe that they do or can achieve what God wants them to be as an individual. And my job is to get you to believe that not only should you allow God to conform you to the image of His dear Son and work toward that to the best of your ability on your own, as far as what you do, get on program with God doing that and learn and grow, but you also get you to understand that you can, regardless of your physical limitations, regardless of your emotional past, regardless of anything that you've dealt with in your life, that you can indeed become what God wants you to be. It is within your grasp. You say, how can you say that, preacher? You don't know me. I don't have to know you. Because I go back to the very first verse that we read in this section, and it goes this: but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Unto every one of us, Brother Larry, is given grace unto the measure, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We are given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, anybody want to get a yardstick or a measuring tape out and measure the gift of Christ? Anybody think we can fathom and comprehend? How can you reach? Can you wrap your head around it? Can you just figure it out and know how big it is? I mean, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we look at that on an individual basis, but on a real basis, it's not just salvation for me, but it's for you. It's for the world. But it's not just for the world that is now or the world that was then. It's for the world before, the world during, the world after. Past, present, and future. Every believer. And you can't even count the number. There's grace available according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So how are you going to measure that? Well, the only way you can measure that is by believing it and believing that it's there, it's available. What He promises, the grace that He promises is there. Not just to forgive your sin, but for you and I to become what God wants us to be. Beloved, we've got to get to the point where we just believe what God says. And yeah, we have our own failings. And whenever you look at yourself, you're going to see nothing but failure. But if you get your eyes upon that and you believe that the grace is there, you know, the first thing you have to do to believe God is believe. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and what? That He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That you will be rewarded, that the grace is there, the grace is available. There's one thing I know beyond any shadow of doubt, and that is that the grace that I need to become what I ought to be is there. And I may fail to make use of it or grab a hold of it and lay hold of it, and I may fail to access it, but it is there. And that's the good news. And just because I failed today doesn't mean I'm going to fail tomorrow. Amen. unto every one of us is given grace. Why are we given this grace? Because it's a gift, a measure of the gift of Christ, and He gives us gifts. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. We all have a gift. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts and those things. And once again, you've heard me talk about spiritual gifts. You can't take an aptitude test and find out what your spiritual gift is. The only way you will find out what your spiritual gift is by yielding yourself to God's Spirit, because it's something that is born. It's the work of the Spirit of God in your life. It is not what men do. Alright? It's not what men proclaim. And He said that He gave those apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what was the goal? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. That we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That we can do that. But here's the question to you. Do you believe that that grace is there? What are you struggling with right now? Do you believe that God's grace is available to you? Or are you going to believe how you feel? Or are you going to believe what other people say? Or are you going to believe the Bible? What are you going to do? When you start looking at the grace of God, you need to stop looking at the grace of God as if somehow it is doled out in teeny tiny bits that might help you. It is not done that way. And every man is given what? Grace according to the what? The measure of the gift of Christ. Now, how can we say there's not enough? What stops us from that? Well, I believe it's the book of James that tells us that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble, doesn't He? And sometimes that's the problem. Sometimes we're proud. We don't repent when we're supposed to repent. God deals with our hearts about sin, and we don't repent. I'm trying to get back to the book of James real quick. In verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit that dwelleth us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I could go on. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I mean, that's what He tells us. He giveth more grace, but God resists the proud. When you and I won't humble ourselves before God, when we won't deal with the sin that God has put, that God has told us about, that God has shown us, that He's put before our faith and said, this is who you are, and He says, this is what you are, this is what you need to leave behind, this is separating between our relationship here, and we're proud, and we can't get grace that way. And so often, within the devil comes in and says, see, God's grace is not sufficient. His strength is not made perfect in weakness. Look how weak you are, and you aren't receiving His grace. Well, problem is, you're not weak enough, because you're still proud. You won't repent. You won't humble yourself before God. That's just the truth. But the grace is there. Unto every one of us is given grace according to what? The measure of the gift of Christ. So there's plenty there. Romans 5 says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It's just a matter of believing God and saying, God's true, I'm the liar. Trusting Him and putting your faith in Him and Him alone. That's what we need to do. So that we can continue to grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so that we can be that part of the body that's to the right specification. We can get there. We can accomplish what God wants us to be as a Christian. And we can continue to grow to what we're supposed to be, what we ultimately will be. We can do that because the grace is there. And if you say it's not there, then I'm going to say, then what's your measure of the gift of Christ? If the grace is giving according to the measure of the gift of Christ, how can you say there's not enough? And if you say there's not enough and God says there is, who's lying? Now, all I'm just asking you to do today is believe God. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're fighting with, just believe God. That's what I'm asking you to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know every heart, and you know every need, and you know everything that someone's struggling with. And I pray that you would help us to just believe your word, what it says, that you give grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And Lord, we know that that measure is far beyond what we could ask or think, that you're able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. Help us to believe that with all our hearts, and help us to, as we face our weakness, our failures, as we face those things, to just humble ourselves and believe that yes, indeed, that we can indeed find in you the grace necessary to become what we ought to be, and to grow up into the Lord, and to just move, keep moving forward as a Christian, become what we ought to be. Help us to believe it with all our hearts. Help us to look at that gift and look at what has been given to us in Christ. And Lord, if we honestly do that, how could we ever think that if that the grace that you give is according to the measure of that gift, how could we ever think that somehow there's not enough grace? And the Bible says that you give more grace. We thank you for that. And Lord, I know you know every heart here, and I just pray you'd bless each one with understanding. And Lord, if there's one that's lost that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would believe that there's grace enough to be saved. Father, that's how we started. We believe that there was enough grace in that gift of Christ to extend unto us, that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could receive the gift of eternal life. And if there's one that's lost, I pray that they'd see that there's that much grace. But for those that are saved, Lord, help us to see that there's so much more, that we can indeed, that you can work your will and do in us what needs to be done. Help us to just humble ourselves and believe what you've told us, and believe that the grace is there. So, Lord, that what you desire, that we could grow up as Christians the way we should, and that we could become in the church what we're meant to be, what your will is, that is indeed not just possible and not just attainable, but it is a surety if we will but believe your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.